Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Every year, we talk about the Christmas story at this time of year from different perspectives, and I have to be honest, this year is probably my favorite. It has been so challenging. It has been so eye-opening. We've talked about Zachariah's response to the angel Gabriel and how sometimes we respond to God's plan in unbelief. And last week, Pastor Shree, if you didn't hear the message, go back and listen to it. She talked about how Mary and Elizabeth responded to the angel Gabriel and how Mary, without hesitation, surrendered to God's plan, and Elizabeth and baby John's, the baby that was in Elizabeth, response to the news of Mary's pregnancy. John was able to start his ministry of preparing the way for Jesus in his mom's womb from Mary's voice. Today, we're looking at Joseph's response to Gabriel visiting him. And as I was preparing and reading through commentaries, I recognized and realized how often I overshadow Joseph's part in the Christmas story. And the truth is without Joseph's willingness to surrender to God's plan, even if it didn't make sense in the moment, even if it was hard, even if it hurt, God's promise would not have come to pass. A little bit of history. We know that there was 55 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus' birth. One of them being from the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all of eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's army will make this happen." And there have been 500 years between the last word of God to the birth of Jesus. And we know that when the angel came to Joseph, it was a shock. It had to be a shock to Joseph. But God knew that for his promises to come true, he needed not only Mary's obedience, but Joseph's as well. Our main verse that we're going to zoom in on today is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. "This is how the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God's with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." And this week, we're going to break this section of scripture into three parts. The first part, Joseph did not allow his emotions to make his decision for him. Let's read that first part of that again. Matthew 1, 18 through 19. "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Before Gabriel came to Joseph, he found out that Mary was pregnant. Thanks to Luke's account of Jesus' birth, we know that Gabriel came to Mary, and she left for her cousin Elizabeth's house for the first 3 months of her pregnancy. So if you weren't here, obviously Pastor Shree talked about that last week. When she got home, she started to show. After the 3 months, she came back to Joseph. She was pregnant. You could tell that she was pregnant. And we're not told that she went to Joseph quietly and was like, "Hey, Joseph, by the way, I'm pregnant." No, like, Joseph just had to find out. And Joseph, in that moment, decided to handle things quietly. I can't say that I would have done the same thing there. I actually know that I wouldn't have. They were engaged, which in their culture was a permanent relationship. It was almost equivalent to being married. And upon hearing and most likely seeing that Mary was pregnant, knowing that they had not had any sexual relations, it gave Joseph the right to break off the engagement and get the money that he paid for Mary back. In that time, you had to pay Mary's dad a price to have her as his wife. Marriage gave a man exclusive reproductive rights to his wife in the biblical times. And if these rights were honored, then Joseph's property would be passed down to his biological children. It was important, therefore, for a man to marry a virgin so that the paternity of his first child would be certain. Joseph had to give up those rights. Wow. In a moment, he had to make the decision to say, like, yep. Joseph would have been so justified to be angry, to make a scene at the sight of his soon-to-be wife's pregnant belly, to disgrace Mary, or even take it to the extent of the law. In the Bible and biblical times, if your wife had been unfaithful, if the person you were betrothed to was unfaithful, you could have her stoned. And that was legal, and that was, like, that would have been his prerogative. And instead, he said, no, I'm going to take care of this quietly. I'm not going to disgrace her. I'm not going to make a scene. Joseph's reaction is an example that we should look to when things don't go our way. When our plans come crashing down around us, when people hurt us, or feel like they've taken everything away from us, it can be hard to take care of things quietly. Often, our emotions get to dictate our first steps that we take. And I want to submit to you that in this season, Jesus is offering an opportunity to learn a new way. Our emotions were never meant to be allowed to take control. And our society has allowed this to become so normal. That's not how God created us to live. Our emotions are guardrails and not guidelines. And just like Joseph, if we choose to accept the invitations, we can handle hurdles and disappointment and hurt with grace and with love and with open arms and with other people in mind. We don't have to hurt other people when we are hurt. Point two is without Joseph's obedience, God's promises would not have been fulfilled. Matthew 1, 20 through 23 says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Because of the prophecies that God had spoken, we knew that Jesus was going to be a descendant of David. And as we read through the genealogy in Matthew 1, we know that Mary was not a descendant of David, but Joseph was. Only if Joseph accepted and adopted Jesus as a son would he too be a son of David. When what we have planned comes crashing down around us, we can choose to trust God and his timing and his plan, or take control and try to hold everything together. I want to tell you a story that, like, this is applicable in my own life. 4 months before Darren and I were getting married, I found out that there had been an infidelity in our relationship. My whole world came crashing down around me in one moment. And just a couple nights after I found out everything had happened, God spoke so clearly to me that I needed to stay and fight. And in that moment, I said, are you crazy? I don't want to. I already had a really hard time trusting people because of just the background that I had come from. It was easy for me to leave people. When people hurt me, when people did something wrong, it was really easy for me to be like, okay, next. We moved around a lot. We, you know, like, people came and went, and that was normal. And as I look back, I did not do it gracefully. I will say that. I did not heal and work towards restoration gracefully. And there were seasons that I took control into my own hands. I tried to rebuild my heart on my own, and that decision almost always ended me in a worse spot than what I had started in. But after 3 years, right before our first son, Hudson, was born, and I was sitting in the soul care, God sat with me in my safe place with a healed heart in his hand, fully put back together. And I know that God's going to use our story of obedience for good, just as he did with Joseph's obedience. In Romans 8:28, he says, and we know that for those who love us, God works all things together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. When things don't go to plan, God doesn't always let us in on what he's doing. Thankfully for Joseph, Gabriel came. That's probably the only reason that Joseph was like, okay, I'll stay. Like, he heard God very audibly. But I can say we can always trust that he has good plans that will bring him glory and us good. It's only through our lives, our obedience, our pain, our healing, that our stories can be shared for God's goodness. Our obedience is the only thing that stands in the way of God's plans being fulfilled. Not our sin, not our failures, not our family of origin, not our hurts, our obedience. That's the only thing that stands in the way. God just needs our yes. We can look at Jesus's genealogy. Let's just say King David did nothing right to make it so that Jesus came from his line. King David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He abused his power. He was a hypocrite. He was deceitful. And God, knowing what he would still do, he appointed him and anointed him to be the king of Israel. And he allowed Jesus to be born through his bloodline. God can use anyone from anywhere if you're willing to submit to his plan. There is no waste at his altar. And lastly, Joseph assumed his anointed and appointed role as Jesus' dad. In Matthew 1, 24 through 28, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have any sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. In the biblical times, the father was responsible for naming the son at the time of his circumcision, which was 8 days after he was born. The angel's word implicitly commanded that Joseph accept his role as his father. In these times, names were so symbolic of the character or the calling of the individual. Joseph could have easily chosen to walk away. He could have started over and rebuilt the life he planned. We can honestly say that when Joseph looked at his life, he probably was not like at 13, like, oh my gosh, my wife is going to have a baby without me, and then I'm going to accept him, and then the society is going to look at us like, what is going on? And that was not his plan. I can guarantee that was not his dream for his life. And he instead handed his life over in a very similar way that Mary had to do, to accept the life and the anointing and the pointing that God had handed him. Joseph's life shows what he can do when we surrender to the plan of God. And he's a living representation of how God adopts each one of us. Though we don't deserve it, though we have hurt and turned our back towards God time and time again, he reaches out. He calls us his sons and his daughters, and because of that, we are rightful heirs to his inheritance, just as Jesus was to Joseph. Without Joseph's obedience, Jesus would not have had the inheritance. He would not have had the name of a son of David. And because Joseph was obedient and he adopted Jesus as his son, we can now say God's promises are true. We can look back at the 55 prophecies of Jesus' birth and say, yeah, God does. With that, God does hold up his words. And if Joseph would have said no, all 55 of those prophecies would have been false. Wow. If Joseph would have said no, the words of God would have fallen short, and that's not of God's character. And it took Joseph's obedience. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. Proverbs 19:21 says, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." And today I believe that there are people who are fighting for plans, fighting for dreams, just very similar to the ones that God asked Joseph and Mary to surrender to. Just like Mary and Joseph had to sit with shattered hopes and dreams, you today are sitting with shattered hopes and dreams in your hands, trying to rebuild it on your own. I know that there's people in here that relates to. I was one of those people 3 years ago, with my shattered heart in my hand and all the dreams and hopes and plans that I had for our future shattered in my hand. And today God is inviting you to the same heartbreaking, world-shattering restoration process that I walked through, that I could only imagine Mary and Joseph walked through, so he can reveal the best plan he has for you. And the first step of that heartbreaking, backbreaking, world-changing is surrender. And so I want to start by, if you haven't accepted Jesus in your heart today, his hand is out open for you. And I'm going to ask everyone to have their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Today, if you say, you know what, God, I have so many broken plans in my hands. I have tried and tried and I've failed and failed and I've done it without you. But today I want to invite you into that process. Today I want to invite you into my heart. I just want you to raise your hand. Yeah, one. Come on. Come on. All of heaven rejoices. There's two. Yeah, come on. Come on. There's three. Come on. Hey, we're celebrating with you just like heaven is today. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for the process. And thank you for the destination. Today, I invite you in. I invite you to be the Lord of my life. I surrender to your plans, knowing that you have the best plan for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for my sins. In your name, amen. If you gave your heart to Jesus today, after our next step, we have a next steps table that Matt and Jess will be at that they would like to pray with you. We have your first Bible. We just would like to talk to you and connect. But to end the service today, the worship team is going to play a new song called At the Altar. And in the Bible, altars are significant because they represent a place where people offered sacrifices and gifts to God and where God met us. It's a place of worship, of encounter, of forgiveness, of communication, a place of covenant. And today, the altar is open for the same encounters with God. You heard from Brian what happened when he came to the altar and surrendered for the first time. The love and the sorrow that he walked through. And today, I think that God wants to walk some people through the same process. And if you are in this place and you say, Pastor AB, I have so much brokenness. I have all of these plans that I've been holding on to that I've tried to fix on my own and I can't fix and I'm ready to surrender. I have paper and pen up here that you can write down and leave at the altar. You're welcome to worship along today. You're welcome to pray. You're welcome to come to the altar. Listen, God just wants your surrender. And whatever that looks like today, I want to give space for God to move in your surrender. Your surrender equals obedience, and obedience equals the hand of God being able to move, not only in your life, but in the people's lives around you. There's some people that all God's waiting for is yes, for his promises to come true in your life and for the people in your circles. Just as Mary's yes affected her.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.